Hi, this is Paul, and this is a very special conversation. I began doing meetups. Jordan Peterson, the Sacramento Jordan Peterson meetup group started in January of 2018. And as many of you know, I often talk about meetups in my videos, and I've gotten quite a few emails asking for advice on how to start a meetup. What do you do at your meetups? How is your meetup going? And I thought I would do a video that would give some history, explanation, and orientation about doing meetups. And so I've asked a number of my friends to join me in this video. Three of these guys are part of the Sacramento Jordan Peterson meetup. And the other guy, some of you will recognize because he's been on my channel a few times, John Van Donk. So I'm going to ask John to introduce himself first because he's been on the channel a few times, but then we'll go around and I'll have the other guys introduce themselves too. We're kind of going to do this meetup style because one of the first things we do when we start a meetup is we get everyone there in a big circle and we do introductions. And we usually ask them, give us your name, a little bit about yourself. I almost always use name tags. We didn't do name tags today. But I almost always
use... Yes, we do have name tags. They're on the bottom left of the screen.
Yeah, but the audience can't see them.
Oh, okay.
So we do name tags and introduce ourselves, a little bit about ourselves, maybe our work. But then also when we first heard about Jordan Peterson, and then I'll usually have an additional question. So the additional question I'll have for this little round today will be, why did you start coming to meetups and what have Jordan Peterson meetups meant for you and why do you keep coming? So... John, why don't we start with you?
Okay, thank you for having me. My name is John Van Donk, and I have been doing meetups long before I even knew about Jordan Peterson, or you for that matter, because I was I was doing a meetup for my storytelling time, basically attempting to create an audience for a storytelling event that we did here in Chino. Patterned after the Moth Radio Story Hour. And we thought that that might be another way to give exposure to our efforts and draw an audience. So when you and I started talking about Jordan Peterson and the way that it was actually creating a conversation online about what it means to sort yourself out, what it means to, the 12 rules and all the various things associated with Jordan Peterson, that whole conversation took on a life of its own. And I thought it was just fascinating that all these people were really sharing a lot of deep stuff with one another online. But the one thing that I thought was perhaps missing was the opportunity to do that face to face, to actually sit in front of another person and have that person hear what you say and get some immediate feedback, if for no other reason than the facial expressions that are generated when you're pontificating about this or that. And so I thought it was kind of a cool opportunity to gather people, and I thought Meetup was the natural platform to make that happen. And that's when I first mentioned it to Paul, and Paul has really gone the extra mile to make this whole thing blossom, because he brings to the table not only the meetup concept, but also his celebrity status, which enables him to draw a crowd wherever he goes.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate you naming me, calling me out as a celebrity. I'm about to make a celebrity out of someone else, because my little poster here is famous, and often people ask me where I got this poster, and I'll tell them the story about a guy who comes to church one day after I start, you know, the Sunday after I started making videos, and he comes and he gives me this as a gift, and that guy is actually with us today, and his name is Rick. So Rick, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit?
I'm Rick. I live down the street from Paul. I was watching YouTube late one night, watching Peterson videos, and Paul's video came up. And I went, oh boy, we have to meet. So I just got the car, you know, on Sunday, went down to the church and made a new friend. So, and then we started doing Peterson meetups, and It's been a real roller coaster ride. It's been really fun.
So Rick, you and I mean, as with John Van Donk and I, after my YouTube channel took off, John was like, Paul, you got to do meetups. I'm like, meetup.com. I was like, and then I met with Rick, and Rick's like, I said, Rick, should we do meetups? And Rick's like, yeah, we should do meetups. Rick, why do you think we wanted to do meetups? Why did you want to do meetups?
I want to know who these other people were who were watching Peterson. It's like, my brother and I were talking about it, and it's like, obviously he was getting traction in the world, and it was a real mystery to me who these people were. Like, were they like me, or did they want to, should we all get together and have conversations? You know, I'm a little bit burned out on social media because I think the interactions on there are shallow. And I was really excited about the meetup because you could meet face to face with people, which I think we probably could use more of in society, you know, face to face conversations and talk to people. And it's been a blast so far.
Okay. Now, I don't know who, Tyler, did you make it to the first meeting or the second? So you and Joey, your meetings were you both came to the second meeting first. So Tyler, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit and why you've stuck with this thing for over a year now? Oh, we can't hear you. Okay, Joey, you go ahead and talk, and Tyler will figure out his sound.
All right, how about that?
Okay, that's better. Just speak up because your volume's a little low.
Okay, so I first heard about Jordan Peterson through another podcast. I don't remember which one. It was a political podcast, and they were talking. It was around the
your volume's really low. Yeah. Okay. Let's pause this. Let's figure out Joey's sound first. Okay. Tyler has just plugged in a real mic, and so Tyler, why don't you go ahead?
So, let's see. I heard about Jordan Peterson around the Bill C-16 issue through another podcast. They had kind of just mentioned, "Oh, there's this professor in Canada, and there's this bill, and he's speaking out against it." So I watched his testimony for that at the hearing, and then from there, YouTube recommended a clip from one of his personality classes, and so I watched that, and then from there went back and watched that whole personality lecture. I think it was 2014 or 13, from a few years before he kind of became famous. So that was interesting. And then from there, I watched the Maps of Meaning, the biblical lectures, and then just all of his various interviews as he kind of rose to stardom. And then after that, it was the YouTube then gave me a pastor discusses how Jordan Peterson changed how I read the Bible, or I can't remember the name of it, or that first video that you did. And it was like, you know, that you have your standard intro that you use. And then it was like, you know, Living Stones in Sacramento, California. And I was like, wow, okay. Like, we got a kind of similar to what Rick did, but then Rick actually took the initiative to go. And then I heard about, I had still been planning to, but then when you mentioned the meetup, and then that first week I had it. And then because you had kind of thrown it out there, like, oh, we're thinking about doing a meetup. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna. And then I thought it was the next week. And so then I missed it. And then I was like, okay. So the second one, I showed up, and I remember, you put up the picture from the first one, and it was like, so like, small group. And then I was sort of like, all right, well, that's enough people to warrant coming down. Right. And it was only, I think, six people, something like that. And then the second one, we had over 10 for sure. And it's just been going ever since. And it's after you watch all the Peterson classes and the lectures, there's like so much that to think about, and that you then need some outlet in order to almost like keep your sanity, because you just need to talk to somebody about it. And that was at the meetup that's the thing that I really enjoy, is that we all have this shared reference and foundation that everyone is. So like when we use different terms or ideas, everyone can just know, okay, that's what we're talking about. And whether or not you agree or not is not really important, but it's that everyone is. So you skip all those definitional problems that seem to be so common nowadays. And that's a great thing for allowing the conversation to actually move and really get into things, because you're not just arguing about your, you know, you can't even get into the argument until you can agree on what words mean.
Right.
And that is, to me, that's the biggest contribution that Jordan Peterson has made, is giving a language for people to have conversation, not just the material for the conversation.
And if there's one thing Tyler is into, it's what words mean, because I mentioned Rick's gift to me. Tyler gave me this, which is Crabb's English Synonyms. And this is a fascinating book. And so, you know, I've used it in a couple of my videos so far. And actually, I check things, and even if I don't reference the book, but I've got it right here. So that's Tyler's big into words. So Joey came in at the second meeting too. Joey, what's going on with you? How'd you find Jordan Peterson, and why just come to the meetup? And Joey's, you know, given a lot of his time to this. What's going on, Joey?
So I was I'm popping up fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. So I started out, I probably was listening to a lot of Joe Rogan. I had a career that was pretty successful, but I was doing traveling for consulting work. So I was all over the place, and that left me pretty rootless. And along the way, I did develop a really good group of friends back here in Sacramento. And I realized that I had to move back to Sacramento to be around them, because as you get older, it gets harder and harder to make new groups of friends. And just kind of that experience of being away from them so long really made me miss the social aspect of life and appreciate the social aspects of life beyond just career, beyond just family, beyond just partying and going out and all that other stuff that you could be doing. So basically, I got invited by Taylor Poe. He was the guy whose mug you held up for about a year, and then eventually you gave it to me to give back to him, and I still have it downstairs. So, that mug has been on the longest journey of all of us, but it'll get back home eventually. And basically, yeah, I showed up. I didn't know what to expect. I'm the type of person, I have never been to a church outside of weddings and funerals. And when I was 16, I found out I had actually been baptized at one point, and I was very upset about that, I remember. Got into it. Me and my dad never really fought, but we did get into a big argument about that. And I think that argument ended with him yelling, "Well, if you don't go to heaven, it's not my fault." And then that was it. So pretty much ever since then, I was very anti-religious. I was into Christopher Hitchens. I was into all of the Four Horsemen. Sam Harris now is the one who I find the most interesting. I joined the meetup, had a great time the first time. I've kind of been addicted ever since. It's one of the highlights of the things that I get to do now. I started my own smaller meetup. About half of it is members of our group that we meet separately, and then half of it is other groups of friends that I've picked up from other places. And that's interesting too, because then we have a whole different group of people with different opinions, and we try and have similar talks. Going forward, I hope to expand kind of what we're doing in our meetup, because it's such a great thing. Probably the most touching aspect of it, at least, is of kind of what Tyler was saying with the language of it, the common language and the common narrative and story aspect of Jordan Peterson. One of the things that 12 Rules helped me with was I don't really read a lot of books. My dad would read more than me, but he was more into the journalist type stuff, where they would go and they would investigate something and he would want to talk to me about something like that. But with 12 Rules, we both read it, and then we had a common language to talk to each other about stuff from our past in a different way. And it was just heavier. And again, nothing bad, but it was just more intimate than my previous language had allowed me to do. And we've had several father and son groups come in. We've had several mothers come into our group. We've had several one mother and son that I can recall, and other groups of multi-generations. And that's really amazing to see, because Jordan Peterson is giving them words to talk to each other that I don't think our school system or our culture in large is doing as well as it used to.
So I think there's two things going on here. One of the things is Jordan Peterson, and the other thing is obviously the meetups. Jordan Peterson didn't start meetup.com. Meetup.com is a website during the .com era. I think they got going where this just kind of facilitated people who had common interests to find each other. But there seemed to be something, at least to me, I was really surprised when it was actually Taylor and John Van Dunk. Taylor was another one of the guys. I think Taylor's only been to one meetup actually, or one or two, but it's just put up on meetup.com, Sacramento Jordan Peterson meetup, and 12 people showed up, and that blew me away. So what is it? What is the connection between Jordan Peterson and meeting up that sort of gives this the synergy and the drive that all of us have seen?
Actually, I'd like to speak to that, because I have a sense that meetup.com captured a trend or a need in society where so many of the institutions that ordinarily brought people together in one room, face to face, in physical proximity to one another. Many of these structures have fallen by the wayside. There are the Elks Club and the various lodges and the Toastmasters, International and the Sir Optimist Club, and all these membership kinds of groups seem to be diminishing and finding it difficult to keep the show on the road. And churches are losing members. And a lot of people seem to be going through life in a kind of a form of social isolation. I appreciate the way Joey talked about that when he moved away from his friends in Sacramento. So I think that meetup.com kind of captured that and realized all along that there are still all kinds of people who would like to be able to do things with other people without necessarily making the commitment of membership and dues and whatever else is associated with that. So the breadth of things that people do in meetup meetings is enormous. I mean, you can go there for motorcycle rides, hiking, knitting, crocheting, wine making, wine tasting, beer drinking, discussions about the afterlife, aliens, and who knows. I mean, there is not a topic or an activity that you can think of that is not represented on the meetup platform. And the way you can actually approach it is, hey, I got 4 hours on Saturday afternoon, not knowing what to do. I go to my meetup platform, and it will tell me what the available options are for me for activities to do on that Saturday afternoon. So if you don't have a highly structured a social life or a social organization or even a social calendar, you can actually very easily keep yourself busy just going to different things that are suggested to you based on your interest by the meetup.com platform. So then if you happen to be interested in conversations about Jordan Peterson and your own meetup platform tells you, hey, we know from the algorithms that you have looked at Jordan Peterson videos, then, well, here is meetup.com suggesting that you might find out about a Jordan Peterson meetup that happens in your area. And voila, you find other people that are equally interested. And as Joey pointed out, and several have pointed out, there is the opportunity for a conversation with people who think like you, speak the same language, and have a common interest. And you don't have to pay dues, and you don't have to make major commitments of membership, and you can just kind of show up and check it out. So I think there is something about the lack of of social structure and the demands of that structure that people appreciate, while at the same time being given the opportunity to be together with people with whom they share an interest. So I think that's kind of how that happened.
Some of the people who have come to our group were meetup type people. They're people who have gone to meetups. I'd say the majority of the people who have come to our group have never gone to another meetup.
Or we've gone and not enjoyed it at all. One of the downsides of meetup and a lot of the other, there's a sports league called Zoso that's very common, and there's other meetup like groups that a lot of people, again, I'm about 30, and people around our age use a lot. A lot of those groups are very negative for new people, unless you're going with a large group of your own. So if you have six people, you can go to a sports league and you can meet more people through that league. But if you're going by yourself, I'm a relatively social person. It's still very, very hard to meet new people through those groups. And then a lot of them are also by themselves, so they don't have alternate things to go to outside of those groups. So you don't really build any momentum. You go, you play kickball, you maybe go out to a bar afterwards, but you don't follow up with anything. You don't make lifelong friends the way I'm suspecting that we're doing now. And I would say that the big difference here is that with all of the benefits of meetup, Jordan Peterson, as the main topic, or at least the central topic, gets rid of a lot of those negatives. Because we all show up and we all want to talk about the same thing, but it's so wide in the terms of what we want to talk about. There's religion, there's culture, there's science, there's psychology, there's personal groups, there's evolution. Like it's been an endless pool of things to talk about with Jordan Peterson and Jordan Peterson-esque stuff that I find it very, very rewarding. And I think the people that show up and keep showing up do as well.
I have a question, Joey, if you don't mind. You mentioned that you sense that the Jordan Peterson meetup groups are different from all the other meetup groups and other similar groups in that you anticipate, you envision, you expect that you will make lifelong friends. What do you attribute that to?
I didn't show up expecting to make lifelong friends. I'm expecting that some of the people that I've become friends with will be my lifelong friends now because of the stuff that we talk about.
So the content becomes the difference.
Mm-hmm. And I think two of the very important aspects for me, and this is kind of just my personal take on it, is that one of the things we almost never talk about is politics. We'll talk about second layer politics. We'll talk about cultural trends within politics, but we don't talk about politics correctly. And the other thing that we don't do is we don't run it like a spiritual group specifically. And I use spiritual as a rough sense, because there's a lot of groups out there that are looking to gain members who want to talk about similar things to what we want to talk about, but they are run more like a group therapy group or a 12-step meeting or something like that. Not necessarily that there's something specific you're trying to get rid of, but they are I'm dissatisfied group, and I'm going to go to this group to try and become satisfied with something. And we have stuff within our group available to people who need that kind of help, but we're not specifically about helping people that need that kind of help. Like, we are there and we are a healthy outlet for people who are in need of something new without saying, come here and we'll cure you of what's wrong with you.
When you say we, you do mean the Sacramento group that all of you represent?
I would say the Sacramento group, but I'd say that's a larger phenomenon of the Jordan Peterson thing as well. I would say that a lot of the people that are interested in Jordan Peterson are a little lost, but they're not the same kind of people that that have specific trauma that Jordan Peterson is specifically skilled in dealing with, and they're going to use him to get through their issue that he specializes in. But he's telling people to go out on a journey. He's telling people to go out and do something new. And then through just doing something new and exposing ourselves to something challenging, you become a stronger person in doing so.
Do we actually know now, the people that are gathered here, do we know what the format of other meetup groups is or should be or has been tried? Or Paul, you want to speak to that?
I only know the format of what our groups are because I haven't, when I'm going to Massachusetts next week and I'm thinking of maybe seeing if I can find any groups that are meeting up there, just sort of drop in to check them out and hopefully nobody will recognize me and I'll get to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, and I really love Joey's comments because to me, obviously I started this as a pastor and churches have a lot of experience with small groups. We have small groups that go throughout the week. One of the things that I decided not to do was a bunch of small group stuff that I normally open with prayer, Bible study. You know, this was totally different. This is just open conversation. And in terms of our, to whatever structure we have, it was, you know, when we started the first meeting, we thought, well, maybe we should play a video because Rick and I kind of talked about that. Say, Rick, what should we do? And Rick's like, well, play a video, and then we'll see how that went. So the first meeting was the only meeting we ever played a video at, and that was we played the Kathy Newman video. Remember that, Rick?
Yep. And it was popular, too. It was a good move. Everyone really enjoyed it. And
James played one the week you were gone because you weren't here. But, you know, other than that.
How dare they? you played a video the week I was gone, really?
Yeah, James insisted on playing the Liberty University video, but it was good because it was a visual thing. You had to see it, otherwise you wouldn't know what we were talking about.
How long did you play it for?
Just about 2 minutes. It was very short.
See, we played the Kathy Newman video all the way through, I think, didn't we, Rick?
Yeah, absolutely. The video we played with James was real short. It was just, you know, where the guy came on stage and then, you know, it was over in just a few minutes. Kathy Newman, we actually played, it was a full, 30-minute video.
30 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
But so then the first meeting, so when I started this, it was like, well, what should we do? Well, first we have to know who each other is. And I could sense right away with the Jordan Peterson thing that everyone was watching. So there's a social media dynamic. Everyone was watching this alone. Yeah, you can leave a comment. Yeah, you can go to Reddit and kind of what Rick said. But social media is, so I thought, people will want to talk about this because what I noticed right away when I started doing my channel, people wanted to talk to me and they didn't just want to send me an email. They're like, and I wanted to talk to people via something like this because even via email, it's not so good. So I started doing this. I thought it'd be much better if we do it together. And then 12 people show up. So the first thing I did was we got to go around the room and introduce ourselves and everybody gets to say something substantive. But then after that, it was just conversation just went. And that's what we've been doing. People often ask me, how do you do your meetings? That's how we do them. It ain't rocket science.
And for me, that format comes very natural because there's several other groups that I participate in my church where actually I have a similar format that gives people an opportunity to share a couple times and they're not necessarily being an agenda. But I do know that I sometimes get pushback from people, especially in my church and in other Christian circles, where they say, well, if you don't actually have an agenda and when you don't have a specific purpose in mind, then why are you doing this? And from the conversation so far, what I have gathered is we all seem to be open enough to allow it to be non-specific without a prior agenda. But I do know that is not automatic in all Jordan Peterson meetup groups. I think that there are other Jordan Peterson meetup groups in other parts of the country where there is perhaps a little bit more of a desire to put a certain agenda on the table. And I was wondering if anybody has had a similar experience or expectation.
I have not for Jordan Peterson group specifically. Other groups that I've gone to have been organized like that. I didn't like them as much.
Proselytizing like?
Well, not only the proselytizing. I would be worried about that because I would feel like I was trying to get sold something. I don't feel like Paul tries to sell anything when we go to his meetups. We go and we've grown, and maybe Paul can talk about that later, about the what we've tried to give the church in return, in exchange, not in exchange, but as appreciation for what he's done for our group. But I would say too that the people that are showing up to our group, at least, and the people that are showing up new are either students or business people or somewhere along those lines. They're people who are a little burnt out on meetings. The people who are saying you need to have an agenda are probably the people who either really enjoy business meetings, which are not the most fun to talk to, or they're the people who have read too many books about how to run a meeting, and it's a meet up, not a meeting. There's no good play on words there, but we're coming together to come together. We're not coming, and we all want to be there. We're in a business meeting. People want to get there, want to be there to get something done, but they don't want to be there just because they want to be there. And I'd say that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our first three or four meetups, we were just trying to understand who these people were and how to cater to them. You know, we have our own things, you know, Paul and I like to discuss, but it was like, you know, we weren't sure. And what we ended up doing was we tried to split up the groups into somewhat rigid categories. You know, politics goes over here, religion goes over here. And we abandoned that after like the first time we tried that. We said, oh, that's not going to work. Both of those
groups just go out.
Right. Well, and we do have a very polite but non-interest in politics. So and some people will watch, a Peterson clip or two and then come to the meetup, and they'll be very political, and that ends up not being very interesting to people, just not. So what Paul and I were doing was we were trying, we would have a meetup, then we would get together and just try to figure out who these people were. So that was really our ultimate goal, was to just cast a wide enough net that people would show up and be interested in having these discussions. So,
and I, you know, the agenda, I mean, obviously as a pastor, my congregation is incredibly permission given, perhaps to a fault. And so I didn't even ask permission. I just organized the meetup, and I knew from just years of ministry that if a person comes to you asking for help, then the request is the agenda. If I go to a person, people know I'm a minister, the presumption is often that I'm going to proselytize. And that tends to, I think that tends to inhibit the conversation. So my goal was, quite strictly speaking, just conversation about whatever people would find to be meaningful. And that's really been what we've sought out. And the reason that we've tended to discourage overt political conversation was that we've never really tried to discourage overt religious conversation. But there was a sense that the political conversation very quickly became mercenary. And we wanted to prioritize the meaningful. And given, you know, given Jordan Peterson's overall agenda and what he has to say about meaning, there could be a connection there, because as I've said in my other videos, I think meaning is Jordan Peterson's sacrament. And so if our groups prioritize meaningful conversation and that's the agenda, it seems to go well. Early on with this, John Van Donk and I talked about meeting in church, and John said, well, your church is, he said very nice things about our church in terms of our church.
Hospitable.
Hospitable. Didn't seem
hospitable.
And so I was worried about that at first, but I didn't want to have a meeting in a restaurant because restaurants, there's just too much background noise and you can't really set up the room. And I wanted, just from small group experience, I wanted us to at least begin with a circle so everyone could see everyone. And I also knew that another strong motivation was the breakout from a social media screen culture where, who are these other people? I want to figure that out because I feel alone. You know, I'm not bowling alone. I'm watching Jordan Peterson alone. And is there anyone, does this mean something bigger? So,
yeah. The issue of venue is kind of interesting because in our church, there is a tendency to encourage programs that are in line with the mission and vision of the church. In other words, it's a mission-driven congregation, and we try to stay away from too much peripheral stuff. So I felt that because I share your passion for conversation and openness, I felt that it would be better to do it off campus. And so I actually had the opportunity to do it in a restaurant that lent itself very well to that purpose initially. Unfortunately, due to circumstances beyond my control, I no longer had access to that room. And so then I live in a 55 and over community. We have clubhouses, several clubhouses on the campus here, and I was given permission to use one of those for free. And actually the room itself is excellent. It is, there is nothing wrong with it. But we have had conversations now to perhaps start looking for another venue that a little bit more of a socially neutral place where people are already used to going, perhaps where some beverages and refreshments are available, and where there does not have to be a half a page worth of directions for how to get to the clubhouse once Google Maps gives up on you.
One of the things we talked about actually at our meetup this past week was the question about the church venue. And I remember James said something. I'd love to hear from Joey or Tyler or Rick on this. What does it mean that we meet in a church? Does that change the conversation at all for you guys?
I think so, in a good way. I really like it. And I see it most in when there's a new person and they walk in, there is this sense of reverence just sort of built it. Like there, it stops anybody who might want to come in to the group and think that they're going to bend it to their will. Because now it's like they come in and everyone is always very soft-spoken, and they say, "Oh, is this the meetup?" So it just puts them in a state of mind where they're going to be more relaxed and not try to take over. I don't know. That's the only way I can really describe it. And then it's like, even when if people swear, there'll be that moment of recognition, and they'll look over at, you know, the cross or something, and they'll say, oh sorry, like, and it's a pretty, and you know, nobody is offended by it, but it you can tell in those moments that they're conscious of where they're at, and I think it makes a difference. Although I would say, like, we went to Fresno in San Francisco, but that those places are, it's hard to know because we don't have the repetition of doing it and seeing how new people come in. Right. So we're almost visitors as well in those areas. And so I don't have as good a feel for it, but going back to the thing about the other meetups that John had mentioned, I'm really curious about what happened with that San Francisco Jordan Peterson meetup group. I think we could learn a lot if we had more information about what happened, because it sounded like they went for a few months and they had a, I don't know if it was like a forum or they had some online type of interaction going with it. And then they were meeting in person, but for some reason it collapsed and they're no longer meeting anymore. And the difference between what they did and what we did could shed a lot of light on potential problems that other people might run into, and things that maybe we sort of organically got right, and what that played into. Because I think Rick and I were talking the other night, and it was that you need a space, and you need a leader, and or an organizer. And then once you have that, then you need a core group of, you know, 4 to 8 to 12 people as you build up. But that then, and then once you have that, then you sort of set the system in motion and you get some self-regulation, and that will then, as new people, it'll give you this buffer so that as new people come in, if they don't fit with that culture as it develops, then they will say, hey, you know, maybe this isn't for me. But that it creates a really good just organizing mechanism around which the group can start to expand without fraying.
And Tyler, when you say the leader, are you now referring to Paul as the de facto leader of the Sacramento meetup?
Yes, for us, but I've been thinking about, like, so what we also have with Paul is the YouTube channel, and
right,
most of the people who come to our meetup found it through YouTube, through Paul.
And right. So in other words, he becomes a catalyst for people to even show up in the first place.
Yes. And that, but that is sort of a separate function, because I don't think, like, most people wanting to start groups are not going to be able to have that person. And so that can't be a necessary piece for doing it. And I don't think it is. It's more that the person who is going to reserve the space or has the space, organize the meeting, and in just terms of scheduling it, and then facilitating the conversation.
And, well, yes, but I think that Paul's influence should not be underestimated, because I am the person who reserves the space and who calls the meeting and who is the organizer on Meetup, but my attendance always triples when Paul mentions on his YouTube channel that he is going to come to Chino and will attend one of my meetups. This has happened several times now, and we have noticed a significant uptick in attendance when Paul makes it known ahead of time that he will participate in the conversation at the Chino meetup. So,
yes.
So I think that is a factor that we can further research that and notice, for example, that when he went to San Jose, people showed up. When he went to Bellflower, people showed up. When he goes to Fresno, people show up. And I think that it would be a mistake to underestimate the influence that Paul's channel and his exposure, you know, simply him announcing that he's going to be somewhere, that seems to have a significant influence on attendance, not necessarily on continuous attendance, but certainly the initial attendance at a meetup.
It definitely does. The point is that's not scalable. We can't clone Paul and get people to have lots of, you know, it's
don't so it, do it, it helps don't do it
it helps for sort of the initial formation and getting a group, but that I'm talking more about in order for a group to sustain itself. Like in Fresno, there's a guy who has a house that can host a large group of people. He's willing to do it, and he's been to our meetups a few times, and they seem to follow a similar sort of pattern of how they conduct themselves during the meetup, and it seems to have worked well for them. And they don't have a YouTube channel for it, but they're still getting a decent turnout every 2 weeks or a couple times a month. They're doing theirs. And you like, so John, how many on average would you say you get, excluding the times when Paul comes? What's your normal?
That is actually a really important question, because my attendance is at times way down to 3, 4, or 5 people. And on Sundays it might be 6, but yeah, that is significantly different than the numbers that you guys draw. And I think that the only way that it can be truly tested what Paul's influence is on the success of the Sacramento meetups is if, for experimental purposes, he stays away for an extended period of time. However, I'm not suggesting he should do that, but that's the only way to properly be able to evaluate how much he really does bring to the table in terms of attracting an audience or attracting participation. And I think that the rest of us who have to make do without his celebrity are sometimes struggling a little bit to sustain that participation. And that's why I'm actually curious. I heard you say that the Fresno group is doing well, but I'm wondering now, how well does well mean? And by the same token, how well are things going in Austin, Texas? And how well are things going in Grand Rapids, Michigan? And how well will things be going in the long haul in San Jose or in Seattle? I guess that there is a confusion here between the what works in any particular location given the local people on the ground, and what works when Paul shows up. Those are two different things.
Yeah, and even on Sundays, probably 2 or 3 times a month, people just show up to the church because they've seen Paul's videos.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, is the success because of Paul specifically, or the topic, or some combination? It's a good question. How many years have you been running, facilitating meetings, Paul? Because you seem pretty good at when we're in the meetup group, you seem very neutral.
Well, I've been facilitating meetings my whole ministry, so that's almost 30 years. So.
Okay. Because I've been to other meetups that go off the rails very, very quickly and are not fun to be at. And our meetups seem to stay somewhat on point as much as they can be. I think that the success of the actual facilitating the meetup has a lot to do with how you run those. And
but that's not a skill. That's a separate thing from whatever I can draw in terms of YouTube.
Yeah.
But I think John's point is well taken. And I think in our group, you know, as Tyler said, we've developed a culture, and we also have, you know, just, you know, the three here, but there are more beyond this three in our meetup that are also strong leaders. And the couple of meetups that I wasn't able to attend last month, I didn't have any concern at all that those would be great meetings, because I know these guys and the group now has a momentum and a culture, but it's getting that up to a critical mass. And I think you're right, John, there's something in numbers. If, you know, once you get above 10, 12, 15, it's really good to have that 6 or 8 or 10 people core who, and not everybody, not all of the core will make it to every meeting, but there'll always be 4 to 6 of them there. And so upon that basis, then if we get another half dozen visitors, boom, off you go. And it usually goes well.
Yep.
So, well, that's a real question. So I'm getting, because I'm a pastor, many of the people who are interested in what's happening here are pastors or church members. And so actually we're talking about taking a drive up I-5, visiting Salem, visiting Seattle, and trying to help, because other churches are seeing this. And I think part of what we're talking about in this video will be important for them. I think, as John mentioned, I think churches are going to have to keep meaningful conversation the priority rather than proselytizing or facilitating Bible study. And some churches might not be able to do that because that violates their sense of mission. But I do think there is, we have it easier because I have a YouTube channel. But I hope that's not the only thing. And I think you're right, Tyler. I would love to know what happened to San Francisco. I was on their meetup group, but they often focused on, here we're going to be discussing this chapter in Maps of Meaning. Here we're going to discuss. And I don't think that has the same effect.
I agree. I think that is too Peterson focused, where the content of the meetup is Jordan Peterson's work. Is that's not what we do. And there's sort of an expectation that when you come to the meetup, you need to have already done the homework. Like you're not coming here to find out what Jordan Peterson said in this. There's an expectation that you've already you have a handle on the language. That's really what it is. And there are people who come and they'll be, oh, I haven't really watched, but this, and those are the people that tend to not last very long. And it's kind of it's something that I think is a little bit of a weakness that we have because of the learning curve necessary and the amount of content that Peterson has put out. That it makes it hard to bring new people in who might be interested but haven't had the time or the motivation to really dive in to the material. But it also is an asset in maintaining that culture. And so it's something that I think about all the time with how if there was like an introductory course or something like that, like a primer on just like these are the common terms, these are the common, you know, which whether it's, you know, biology, psychology, philosophy, like because Peterson does have a kind of his selected examples and different frameworks that he'll tap at for different material. And I think having that where if you don't want to watch, you know, because it's like the personality class is, you know, a bunch of 3-hour video, or they're some of them are one, like split into part one and two, but they're 3 hours. So it's like, you know, we're talking like 40 hours of material per class.
The full class, yeah.
Yeah. So if you don't have the time to spend to devote essentially what would be being a full-time student for one semester worth of watching. And then I know I know some people who they kind of get into it, but they can't keep it up. That it's just like, okay, they watch the first one, they watch the next one, and then they get busy or something. Like you really have to keep going with it, almost like reading a book, where if you put it down for too long, then you'll start losing where you're at. And this is a dense book that you're watching, in a sense. And so having something like that.
I find that fascinating that you should mention that the exposure or the involvement with Jordan Peterson is both an asset and a liability. Because if it is a liability, and I think you're right about that, that for some people it is a liability because they don't have the time or ability to immerse themselves in Jordan Peterson, and yet they show up. And so my question would be, can we identify more precisely what it is that those people are looking for and why do they come and what do they expect to happen in a place where there are any number of people well-versed in Jordan Peterson language, but who perhaps are there also for another reason? And that this being together and being heard and having a chance to articulate your views and have them be listened to and respected has its own value regardless of the content. I think you put your finger on something there that you know, the asset way, the asset part is, yeah, there are people who speak a common language and who can readily identify with the material because they have been immersed in it. The liability part is where people who have not had that yet come. So What are they looking for?
They yet come, but then don't keep coming. Is the right? That's the where it's like we're excited when we get new people, and then if you find that they're not, and I don't particularly mind if they are not as well versed in the material, but they did have that. There was that attraction to it.
But is it the attraction to the material, or do they come for a different reason?
That's the thing. And we don't, the shame of it is that they may feel overmatched and then they say, well, that wasn't for me. And it's like, well, no, we could have adapted to them, but we don't have the time, or we can't figure it out. We don't know what they were looking for. And so maybe that's something that with new people, we can ask them,
why are you here?
what is it that you're looking for?
And
maybe ask that up front before we do the introductions, or maybe let them introduce themselves first, because by the time we all go and do our we've sort of conditioned the responses based on what we are saying that what we're liking out of the group, and so then they're going to sort of naturally conform towards that. Whereas if they were looking for something else, then we don't hear about that. And so we're missing out on that information. So that's maybe an idea for next time.
This does go back to my initial criticism of meetup groups in general, is that if you put something out there, you're going to get the people that John was talking about initially that I'm looking for something to do on a Sunday. And Jordan Peterson was a Jordan Peterson meetup group at a church was the closest thing that they thought was right for them. And they show up once and it wasn't really for them. And they didn't have any of the background Jordan Peterson material to be able to engage in the discussion. But even more than that, they weren't interested in the discussions that people did have that background were having. The people that were getting to come to the group repeatedly that don't have the Jordan Peterson background are the ones that had never really heard of him, but either a friend told them this is what you would be interested in, or they came and they were essentially entertained by all of us enough that they wanted to keep coming back. We have several groups of people that they don't come often, but they'll come once every 2 months, and they'll bring a friend, and their friend will bring a friend the next time. And it's a very slow process. It's not something that's going to grow out of control. It's not something that's going to become the new sensation. But I do think that it's valuable to keep our culture as we move forward, and not continuously try to adapt to getting new members. And I think you are correct that Paul is the initial, Paul's celebrity is the initial draw. But ironically, I think that the problem with, say, the San Francisco group was that the San Francisco group, the person running it, if it's the group I'm thinking of, the person that was trying to run the San Francisco group was relying on running that group based off of their own celebrity. And I could see why that would burn out very quickly. If we came to the Jordan Peterson meetup group, and Paul just talked for an hour and a half to 2 hours about, you know, whatever topic we decided on.
You mean he doesn't do that, actually?
I'll finish. But if that was what would happen, people who watch Paul on YouTube would be very interested to continue coming, but I would not go to those meetings. I would not be interested in sitting and listening to him to talk for 2 hours. Paul has, I do that. I am interested in listening to Paul talk for 2 hours. But I can do that at home.
I know, exactly.
So I do that at home. And then I cannot recall a single conversation in the entire year that we've been going here and the 24, 25 meetups that we've had that Paul has been even the largest contributor of that conversation. And I think that speaks to his skill as a pastor and as a leader in general, is that he lets the group He gives us some rails. He gives us a place to meet. He came up with the idea with some help, like with some friends, and he took the initiative to do it, and we all showed up. But we ran once it happened, the greater group ran those meetings, and that's what's so much fun about it. And I think we've done a couple road trips now where we've all gotten into the Paul van, Der Clay, and we all go somewhere and we all have our meetup there. And we went down to Fresno, and the people from Fresno came up and they saw how our group ran. And I think that we might have a strong enough culture here in the Sacramento meetup group that if we go and we help people get started, they might be able to run with it and take that forward. And if we do more work with Paul on like in answering these kinds of questions that you're bringing, if we have people who want to start new meetup groups come and bring us questions, and possibly even bring me and Rick and Tyler questions separately from Paul, I think we can help people build those cultures that will be valuable to them, even if they're not identical to the one that we have.
Right. Another thing that Paul and I had talked about, I wrote up something. I noticed the difference in the size of my meetup group and the number of people in attendance. I have more than 200 people in two combined Jordan Peterson meetup groups. And
on the meetup website.
On the meetup website, yeah. And so Paul and I wrote something up which I thought might flush out a few of those people and have them, you know, start to participate more. And then in conversation with Paul, we decided that that was not really a super great strategy to try and flush these people out. But at the same time, we recognized that those people are, in fact, a kind of resource in that they may be able to tell us exactly the question that you asked earlier, what are you looking for? Why are you even associated with the Jordan Peterson meetup group? Even if you are already associated with 20 other meetup groups of various kinds, you nevertheless at some point clicked on that link that said, I want to join this meetup group.
I want to get notifications about it.
Exactly. Yeah. But then that does raise the question, what are you looking for? And so maybe we can figure out a way to ask them that. I would be very interested in finding a tool or a mechanism by which we can explore why these people feel like they want to be associated with this meetup group.
Maybe they're bots.
I don't think people can answer. I don't assume that people can necessarily answer that question. And I have that experience both in terms of the meetups and in terms of church. When people visit church, I don't think they necessarily know why they are visiting a church. They have a sense that they need something. They have some hope that maybe that can help them get at what they need. But in terms of knowing themselves enough, I have very little confidence that most people have enough self-understanding that they can actually articulate all of this stuff inside of them. Some people can. I find many people are much more intuitive. They have a sense. They go. I mean, Rick, when you came to Living Stones, it was kind of like, I heard them on a video. Here's a church. How bad can it be? And if it's bad, it'll only be once, and I'm out of there. I mean, that's kind of what you did, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I had no expectations at all, and yeah, it was really nice. Nice people. It's a good time.
Yeah,
I've been coming back for over a year now.
Yeah, and I think it's the same in terms of meetups. What kinds of, if we were to give advice to, this is kind of the impetus of this video, if we were to give advice to other groups wanting to start a meetup, what are things they should do or shouldn't do?
There's a few different people that I think could be receiving that message. I would say that there's either people like you and John who have already have the resources to start the kind of meetup we're talking to on their own. And then I think there's people more like the other three of us that would have the interest in starting a meetup, but we don't really have either the space or the social circle or the wherewithal to do so. which one would you like to start with, I guess?
We'll start with the second.
Probably go 2 hours on each one.
Yeah, start with, start with the second group, because there are more people, I think there are more people out there who are saying, I'd like for there to be a meetup like the Sacramento meetup that I could go to. How can I, see, I think part of the people approaching me are often pastors. Mm-hmm. And they have, I tell them, you have small group skills, I hope. If you're being able to maintain small group, I have some confidence you have that. You have a facility. Here are some things to avoid. And I think we've actually talked about some of those. Don't make the agenda of the meeting meaningful conversation. Don't even make it a Jordan Peterson. I mean, the agenda of the meeting, this is the irony. The agenda of the Jordan Peterson meetup can't even be Jordan Peterson.
He'll come in.
Yeah,
he'll impose himself.
But that can't be the agenda of the group. Yeah. And that's where I think book studies and those kinds of things go wrong, because it makes Jordan Peterson the agenda of the group. And I think actually the agenda of the meeting should be meaningful conversation. And Jordan Peterson is sort of like the wick of the candle that catalyzes the heat, but the candle isn't the wick. And so it's got to be the interaction of some of these things. But let's first talk about, I think you're exactly right, Joey. Let's first talk about people who are, they're not a pastor. They don't have a building. Maybe they are in a church and are curious, because some of those people are talking to me too. So what should they do if they're just a regular person listening to Jordan Peterson? They want to talk to other people, but maybe they went to a Jordan Peterson meetup and it was really a mess, and so they want to start their own thing. What do you think, Joey?
If I was talking to me in the wild, so if I hadn't gone to your group first, I think the advice I would give would be, A, get started, just get out there. I was spending way too much time at home by myself, or I was spending the rest of my time, my social time, specifically like doing stuff that involved alcohol, which I think is very common for people our age now, especially people who are full-time employed and are, you spend all of your time either working, and if you're not working and you live in a city, you're going somewhere and you're consuming alcohol, and that's who your friends end up being. Most likely, if you are someone like that would be interested in these intellectual conversations, all of your friends aren't interested in it, but 10% of them are, 5% of them are. If you have 40 friends, that's still two people. I'm not doing that math even close to right. But but say you have two friends that are interested in it. You don't have to start a meetup group. You can start a Facebook group. You can find a coffee shop. You can do something else. You can just start meeting with people and talk about something. Talk about something that's kind of out there. Talk about something that you do not have an answer for. The best conversations are the ones where you're, what do we do about XYZ problem? A better question is, X, Y, and Z are all changing. What kind of problems do you think this will cause, and how can we solve them? Those are those conversations that go on for hours and hours and hours, and you actually end up learning way more than when you're actually looking for a solution to something. Because again, this is not a business. This is a conversation. That's the fun part. I would also say that, and hopefully this is something that maybe we are able to help facilitate. I would say try and find a church. Try and find a church that there's a pastor or senior leadership, or ask if you're somebody who's not affiliated with the church and you still live in the same town as your parents, and your parents have friends that are involved in churches, even if they're not. I can imagine many of them would be very enthusiastic to say, I want to talk about religious and cultural and other topics, and I want people's opinions who are involved in the church, and I don't have a church. Can I talk to your pastor and start a meetup group with them about this guy, Jordan Peterson, who talks about these topics a lot? And hopefully we would have a good mixture of people who are involved with the church and who aren't involved with the church, and we could go forward from there. I don't know, but I think that's a specific market of people that exist.
You just broke my heart, Joey.
I know.
Because John had exactly the same thought, because we both think, I have so little confidence that that many pastors would do this, and that breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Especially breaks my heart because I know how ironic it is that you are saying to people they should go and engage a church because that's not who, you know. Wow. Wow. But you're right.
I don't see it in the culture that there are people like me who would have the bravery to do that unless they started listening to Jordan Peterson first. There's no way I would have approached you, or there's no way I would have even been interested in talking to you before I started listening to Jordan Peterson regularly. So if there are people who would have the bravery to do that, they are probably the people that are listening to Jordan Peterson. And if you live in a city the size of Sacramento, there are hundreds of churches. And again, maybe not all of them, but maybe 10% of them are in a similar position to you, where they're trying to figure out how to revivify their church. And this is a project that we've talked about for 6 months now. This is an idea that's been floating around in our heads for a long time. But I think it's something that's worth doing. And I think that people who approach it as if it's something that'll worth doing will find the meaning in it that Jordan Peterson talks about.
I think it's a fascinating thing that you mentioned, Joey, because we actually have an example in our shared awareness. We've all seen the interviews that Paul did with Job in the Netherlands, and this is precisely what he did. He actually went to the church that his parents were always going to, and he says, hey, I want to be part of this. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in religion. I don't believe in anything, but I'm going to hang around here and have conversations with you people, and we'll see what happens. And then a few months later, he shows up here in California and is able to testify that he has been hanging around a lot of Christian people and he's starting to learn the language. And it is meaningful to him to participate in this conversation. And now he's actually doing exactly what you suggested, contacting a few other people that he knows are interested in Jordan Peterson and saying, hey, let's have coffee together or let's sit down somewhere and let's talk. And the very dynamic that you are describing, I know, is actually possible, even if only on this one example that it has actually happened. So I think it's a very cool idea.
And if there are people who are nervous about doing that, or they don't have they're struggling with taking that step of going to a church, I think what we met for coffee in the park on like Saturday mornings a number of times, and there was between 4 and 8 of us at any given time, and that is a place where, now weather permitting, but you can go and it's free and you can just meet. There are tables, and you can, if you get a small group and you can identify that core membership, then maybe go to a church and say, hey, we have been talking, we have this group, we would like, you know, can we talk to you now? Because now it seems that maybe a pastor would be more open to, if there were 4 or 5 people coming and saying, hey, we're really interested in Jordan Peterson, we'd like to talk to you about some of the theological, religious, you know, different interpretations, things like that. Then I think that it would sort of draw the pastor in more. Whereas if it's just one person, it's so, it seems like there's so much more work to get it going. Whereas if you come with a group already, all they have to do is unlock the door and let you in. And that might help people with the, you know, getting over their fears of going to a church and just sort of cold calling and saying, hey, can we talk to you? Can we use your space? Like I can definitely see how if you had a couple friends of people who you've talked to for, a few times at the coffee shop and you say, okay, and then you have more of a plan and it makes it more real for the pastor and easier for the pastor to then say, yeah, sure, let's talk. Or maybe invite the pastor to a coffee at what you've been doing and then say, hey, you know, we would like to have a space where we could go and, you know, inside or whatever. And that it would sort of, you could build it that way but still arrive at the same end result. But maybe if you already have, you know, two friends or one that is interested in Jordan Peterson, then just start that. Like, honestly, bring the book and just set it on the coffee table. Set it on the table in the coffee shop. Like Joey's had this where he's just bumped into random people. And,
in the wild.
Yeah. And you hear them mention Jordan Peterson, something, Rules for Life. Like you hear it. And so if you give people that signal, if you send that signal out there, even very subtly, just putting it down on the table, people will see it. There's guaranteed to be people walking through like a Starbucks or something who have heard of Jordan Peterson. If they see that book, then, you know, maybe a certain percentage of them might walk up and ask you, oh, hey, I've read that book, or, oh yeah, I heard about that. You know, can you tell me about it? Like that could be a way of finding people. It would be just, if you have one person, go there and just start talking and kind of put that little signal out there.
Yeah. Wow. I'm absolutely fascinated by what you guys are saying here because it is a testimony, Paul, to your way of being a pastor, that these guys that are all participating in this conversation somehow think that all pastors are like you.
Oh, no. Joey was talking.
Jordan Peterson still says that all pastors are liars. So...
I would be worried that the only ones who would say yes are the ones you don't want to say yes.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Well, yeah. I will tell you this. Anybody out there who's going to follow the advice of Joey and Tyler, if there's a Christian Reformed church around, contact me, and I will call that pastor, and I will lean on that pastor for you. I will. And John Van Donk will too.
Oh, yeah.
Not be successful, but John and I know how to lean.
this is what's kind of beautiful about just how social media works and the phenomenon that I'm going to say that we're a part of right now, because there's five of us talking to each other that we would have never talked to each other had this phenomenon not happened. And what that is that social media is an excellent pre-sorting mechanism. The people that are getting advice from me and from Tyler and from Rick and people that are hearing John's questions are all people that already listened to Paul. They already clicked on one of Paul's videos and decided to watch another video. So like I'm going to do that whole thing, but it's like, I am talking specifically to you. Like if you are the person who wants to start this, we are seriously the people that are willing to help you start this. We might not be able to do it. Like you're going to do most of the work, but there's work to be done and you can do it. And it's pretty awesome. Like Tyler said, just go out in the wild, bring the book, keep your ears open. Listen for somebody who says something that sounds like something Jordan Peterson would say, because those memes are out in the water now. And if they have, you can ask them if they heard about him. And if they're even sheepish about saying, yeah, that's who I heard it from, trust me, that person wants to talk about Jordan Peterson a little bit more. I have yet to meet a Jordan Peterson fan that says, yeah, I read his books and I watched all of his videos and yeah, I'm done with it. It's like, there's at least something.
Except for James.
Well, James just loves us that much. It's not that he doesn't like Jordan Peterson. And that's great because we're delightful. So,
Well, and James is a member of our group, but James goes to one of our church plants right up the road here. And what struck me right away, James and I had the same experience. James grew up in an evangelical household. And when this meetup started, both James and I said to each other, this is exactly what I always wanted church to be like, but never saw. And here it is happening. And the crazy thing is that who do we have to thank for it? This crazy Canadian psychologist who puts stuff up on YouTube.
Who may not even be a Christian.
Yeah. It's just fascinating.
But I do want to share in support of Tyler's comment that we have, Paul and I both have a written account, beautifully written, of a situation in Tucson, Arizona, where a mutual friend of ours was sitting in a coffee shop for breakfast and overheard a conversation of some people, a couple actually, that were quite having an animated conversation about Jordan Peterson. somebody else in the coffee shop overheard that and said, hey, whatever it is that you guys aren't able to figure out, there's a guy sitting here in the coffee shop pointing to our mutual friend who is the pastor. He can probably clarify this for you. And here, this pastor got drawn into a conversation that started with overhearing a conversation about Jordan Peterson. And I think the whole is just a beautiful picture of what you're trying to describe about the organic way that these coffee shop encounters can make amazing things happen.
And I think people out there are people who go to coffee shops looking for that. It's still a place culturally where it's acceptable to go up and talk to somebody that you don't know. Right. And that is eroding from the society, but the coffee shop is still one of those places. And people, there is an expectation when you go there. If you go to the coffee shop and you're not just going in line and get and then leaving, right? If you're going there and you're bringing a book or a newspaper or your laptop and you're sitting down, there is still, you're assuming the risk that some stranger is going to come talk to you. And you have to, I think people are aware of that, and they know that's a possibility. And so it's an easier barrier to overcome because of that. And people are naturally going to be more open to talking to a stranger. And then if they see that, it will be this, at the last meetup, there were a number of people who said that they had recently found Paul's YouTube channel and then heard that there was a meetup and then looked it up and said, and they all described it the same way. They said, how could I not go? Given that it was so close to them, how could I not go?
And by close, like, we mean within 4.5 hour drives.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And so there is, and that kind of goes to what Paul was saying, that people don't really know what they're looking for, but they know that they're looking for something. And so that there was this desire for, I wish I could talk to somebody about this. And then now we have people who are saying, I wish there was someone I could talk to about this. I wish there was a meetup to facilitate being able to talk to people about this. And that then they're thinking, okay, I need to be the one to start this meetup. And I think that's the Jordan Peterson effect right there, is taking that responsibility. And then they know that they need to be the one to do it. And then the next step is how. And that's the part that if you're at that stage, then that is who we're looking to help at this point. And I think also one of the reasons I wanted to be to do this is that everyone is used to seeing Paul talk and talk to random people. But that if the people, if we find that a YouTube channel is somewhat of a necessary component of getting your meetup going, that you don't have to be Paul. If you do, like, there are tons of YouTube channels out there that are 3-4 people who talk about things. It's more of a podcast format. But if you do that once a week, you could do your meetup in person, and then you could do a podcast the next week, and then you could meet. And that pattern is enough to sustain you to get people to come. And even if you don't get that many people watching your channel, the point is that the YouTube channel is in service of the meetup. And that this is sort of a proof that you don't have to be a, you know, celebrity pastor on YouTube to make videos about Jordan. Yeah, sorry, Paul. But that, yeah, you can do it. You can be, you know, none of us have any experience doing any of this stuff, and we've just kind of it's meant so much to us that we want to help other people do it. And sort of that is, you know, we're taking the next step right now today doing this video, and that other people, in hopes that other people will realize that they can do it too. And that could be necessary.
Yeah,
but it'll probably vary depending on what city you live in, and just who you're going to get. But that it's that people shouldn't be afraid of doing that if they find that it helps that you might need to, and that you really only need a few people, and that you can, I think you'll start to get that network effect as soon as you get, you know, six ish, you can really start to expand. And honestly, I don't think you need all that many. Like we break up our groups, so it's nice to have a big group to start, but it breaks down into, you know, between six and eight, sometimes 10 if we do two groups and they're bigger, but that's enough people right there. So if you only have one group, that's fine. And that you can keep going. You'll never get the group unless you start, and it might take a few, you might have to just go to the coffee shop for 2 months with one or two people and talk, and then you'll find someone. But if you want to accelerate it, make a podcast, buy a cheap microphone,
reach out to us.
We'll talk to you.
Like, Tyler and I have specifically talked about, we're willing to talk to people if they want help with this and they don't feel like talking to you is the appropriate thing for some reason or the other. Or they could talk to both of us. They could go, you take open calls. They can talk to you, and then they can talk to me afterwards if they want to, and I'll help them with other stuff, either on air or off air. I'm happy to do it both ways.
So let's focus now on they maybe talked to a pastor and they've gotten to a group level and they've got a place, they've got a facilitator at least, and they're ready to start. Again, the process of our meetings have been around the room introductions, and then usually maybe pick some topics if you have to break down to groups of six or eight if you've got so many people. What are some, just kind of quick fire here, what are some do's and don'ts about running a Jordan Peterson meetup?
I kind of keep going back to no politics because it's what everyone wants to talk about first, but it's the worst thing to talk about.
Why?
There's no quicker way to end a group by talking about politics, because you're either going to get people who agree with you, and then you're just complaining about the same stuff everyone complains about on Facebook, or you're going to get people who disagree with each other, and it's so ingrained in our culture now that you're not supposed to disagree with people about these things that you can't be their friends anymore. And both of those are absolutely toxic views. And the problems that everyone says that they want to solve, the big problem, the way they solve that problem is by not fighting about it for no reason.
I'd like to, for the sake of disagreement, disagree, because the strongest component of my Sunday meetup group is four women who, at the very outset, when we first started, made it very clear that they are disgusted with the political climate and especially the school system, and that their approach is to become homeschoolers. And they talk about Jordan Peterson as an incredible resource for people taking responsibility for their own, educating their own children. And they see it as an opportunity to talk about that, and they come to my meetup oftentimes together as a group to whine about the educational system, and they get that out of their system for a while, and then they start talking about how Jordan Peterson has said this or that, and especially the take responsibility for your life thing and familiarize yourself with history and understand what makes the world go around, and there seem to be a lively conversation surrounding that. And so, yeah, I
would say somewhere in the middle of that is what I was thinking. So the problem is not politics per se. It's that when people talk about politics, they're talking about national politics.
Yeah. Red versus blue.
And yeah. Right. And so that is the thing that we don't talk about. Local issues, yeah, like school, is different because that's closer to a cultural conversation than a purely political one. And I think we that is the way that we, that politics sneaks in to our discussions, but it's not through talking about, oh, did you see what so-and-so said on X channel last night or something like right. that. It's we're not talking about the political theater of the country. We're talking, and so if there are things with, you know, the low, because we've had a number of teachers that come to the meetups, and they, we will ask them about issues that they're having in the school, but it's, they're not, we're not talking about the funding of something, right? Like these more political issues. They're more talking about what's happening in their classrooms and how the district or something like that is constraining them or causing problems for parents and things like that. And so that to me, it's more of a sociocultural that has, because of the
if they're angry, they're talking about their own story as opposed to
their
personal narrative, not the greater narrative that they're just going to add in their two cents to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, other do's and don'ts.
So I think one of the things that we always do is trying to include the newer members and really making an effort. And that's once you have your core group, especially if you're smaller, and you're going to get into your pattern of what you do and how you do it. And that if you're trying to bring in new people, you really have to make an effort to include them. And that one of the things that we do is we give them, if you're new, you get to propose topics first. And that I think is an effective way. And just getting those people to feel like they have the opportunity to be heard, and that if you throw out something and everyone's like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good, that happened like twice at the last meetup where somebody proposed something that nobody had thought of in that way. And it was like, wow, that's all right. Let's do that. And everyone was really excited about those topics. And that is that infusion of the new that keeps the group from getting stale. And that is something that you will really need. And I think that's a valuable thing that we do.
Good. Good. Others.
I bring a cooler full of sodas.
That helps.
Freshman. Yep.
I would say that very often too, we have a lot of people that you're going to get people who are very information overloaded. They've read a lot of books, they've seen a lot of videos, and they will try and hyperlink to those videos and books and tell people that that's what they need to read to understand the conversation. And a great tool that I've found both in my personal life for having better conversations myself and inside this group is telling people, no, I'm not going to go read that book you just told me to read. You have to describe it to me. That's the conversation that we're having. So we've
good distinction. That's an excellent distinction.
Yeah.
You're interested in the content of what they're talking about, but you're encouraging them to actually talk about it.
Yes, we have a professor in the group who keeps trying to give me homework and I won't take it from him.
Or James can't defend himself.
Yeah, well, then that's to come on later.
But it's that's again, yeah, it's one of those, I think that is a product of social media where you can play status games with people by saying, oh, you haven't read this, and then you post the link to it, knowing full well that they're not going to read that. But it's
you yourself may not have read it either yet.
Right. It's a way of getting the last word.
Exactly.
Because everything is so fast, all the interactions, and that if you're in a conversation, you can't do that. It's your responsibility to have understood the material. If you want to reference something, you need to have understood it well enough that you can explain it to somebody else. Because if you haven't, then it's a check on you just throwing things out there that nobody is going to be, no one's fact checking each other. We trust that the person is competent enough to, if you're going to bring something up, you have to be able to answer questions about it or say, I don't know. Like
it's made us so much stronger too. Everyone in the group who is forced to explain something rather than reference it, has become a much, much stronger speaker, and conversationalist just in general. And I've noticed those skills in other aspects of my life, and it's been nothing but positive.
Rick, you got any do's or don'ts?
Nothing comes to mind right now.
Okay.
I mean, I would bring up the politics. However, everyone, we've already beat this dead horse, right, with the politics.
Yeah. Every group needs a Rick, because Rick will sit back and he'll listen and listen and listen, and then he'll wait, and then he'll have, this is what you're not paying attention to. So every group needs a Rick, but we can't clone Rick either. So
I think it's also kind of important that you make friends with the local security guy. Otherwise, you're liable to get thrown out of your venue in the middle of the meeting. And
yeah, that happened. Yeah, been there.
Yeah, that happened.
Okay, we've got 10 more minutes, and then, you know, 10 more minutes-ish. What are some things that you wanted to talk about that we haven't talked about? And we have to do it sort of briefly.
One more do and don't is I want to throw in the, you were talking about throwing, focusing on the discussion, and a extra distinction on that is you are focusing on the discussion and not consensus. So often we're pushed to all agree on something, and that's not valuable. The valuable part of these groups is that I'm talking to somebody who I disagree with, and now I understand their position better than I ever have. And that's something that the IDW is getting slightly better, or is slightly better at than the rest of media, but it's still not a commonplace thing. So it's been a lot of fun.
Good.
Paul, I heard you say earlier, and you spoke for both of us, that we would be inclined to lean on pastors. But I'm not so sure what that would mean or what that would look like. And the one thing that I think is really helpful, that if any pastors watch this video, that they would understand something about why it is that meaningful conversations themselves are meaningful and sufficient. So that pastors are often trained to focus on a certain outcome and a certain agenda and a certain goal in mind. I mean, there is a sense of that in which, you know, there's a sense of urgency and mission and all of that. And I don't want to minimize that for the pastor as pastor, but I do believe that somewhere along the way, you have to buy into the value of meaningful conversations in and of themselves. And if you are not able to do that, you are not going to be a good organizer of Jordan Peterson or conversational meetup groups. If you're not wired that way, then I think it's going to be a source of frustration, because there is going to be an element of, the idea that we just said, that the outcome of it doesn't necessarily have to be consensus. There is going to be an element of different opinions floating around out there that you're not going to solve, and you're not going to be able to ameliorate or settle or harmonize or reconcile. So there has to be a great deal of openness to different tensions, different things being in tension with each other, and then to be able to value all the people that bring these tensions to the table, and then to say, hey, this is in and of itself meaningful and a good place where really cool things can happen. Really cool things can happen when there is an openness to different ideas, and, you know, and the last word does not have to be said in the meeting either. The last word can be said as you build a relationship with people. And I think that you guys have a joke going amongst yourselves that Paul finally had a convert the other day. I think I heard about that. Oh. Okay, edit that out. Sorry.
I can't edit. Not going to edit. Sorry. John, it's always you, John. It's always you.
Spoiler alert, it wasn't me. So we'll go.
here's the thing. Okay, talking to pastors. Pastors obviously are looking for religious conversion. They assume that religious conversion, if they're going to be a part of it, is part of the process of conversation. I don't think most people experience a religious conversion through conversation if it isn't a meaningful conversation. And I think the lack of meaningful conversation usually results in propagandizing people. And I think that is not Christian.
Correct.
I think it, in fact, undermines the gospel when we propagandize people. And when I'm using the word propaganda, I'm meaning it in its technical sense.
Yep. That market is also absolutely flooded. You can find that pastor if that's what you're looking for, and you'll find him somewhere else.
And I know that there are people who will, if they heard me say this, if they're already still watching this, but I will have no status in their mind because of what I just said. And I'm totally fine with that because I believe it. I think you have to have meaningful conversation or people aren't actually working on their own stuff and then looking for what real life transformation happens. It has to be meaningful. And I think in that Jordan Peterson is right. So
yeah, there's a tremendous depth to sorting yourself out. If you do it seriously, there is all kinds of dimensions to it. And eventually you may or may not bump into some kind of a spiritual dimension, but that is down the road a ways. And so in the meantime, all kinds of meaningful conversation can take place about all kinds of things short of whatever a religious conversion experience might entail.
Yeah.
To get a little bit more practical, one of the things Rick pushed us to do initially was to find a way to give back to the church for, again, being so helpful for us. And because I'm not going to toot our own horn, Paul, I'm going to have you kind of just tell them a little bit about what we've done.
Well, so my congregation is aging and it's declining. And so one of the things that you don't have are exactly what our meetup group is full of, which are able-bodied young men who love to participate in a fun project like felling an 80-foot tree when none of us have that expertise. And nobody got hurt. But then, you know, building benches from that. And these guys have participated in a clean-out day. And I didn't even know it was a clean-out day. I just, you know, Rick has a box truck and filled it with garbage and took it to the dump. And, you know, what that does in terms of the church and financial donations, you know, here you have people coming to the meetup, don't have any Christian profession at all, making significant financial donations to the church simply out of gratitude. And when a church sees that, well, their attitudes begin to change with respect to this group using the church. It's like, yeah, Pastor, keep doing that. That's a good thing for us. And for me, it's just been churches that have an evangelistic mission, by definition, want to meet people who aren't Christians. What better thing can you imagine than a group of 10 to 20 to 30 people meeting in your building, having meaningful conversations with the potential of you participating in it? To me, this is so obvious that I am enormously frustrated with people who look at this and say, well, why would we want to do this? And I think, are you dim? This is exactly what you want to be doing. And I think, you know, Joey said it very well. He said, hey, our group, for the health of our group, and again, this is just basic small group dynamics, we need, especially if it's made up of men, we need physical projects where we're not just face-to-face. Women's relationships tend to be face-to-face. Men's relationships tend to be side-by-side. And so those side-by-side events, whether it's taking down a tree or building benches or cleaning out a junk room, and every church has a junk room, or traveling together to a meetup, those side-by-side events are so key for, just like Joey said, building those friendships that could become lifelong friendships. And the church is about community. And to me, this is just so simply obvious that this is what we should be doing, but that's just me.
So this is also the first time that I've had friends that are both significantly older and significantly younger than me. That side-by-side work that you're doing, most people our age are renting apartments right now and you do no work at all. So just even getting to use some of the tools that I've accumulated for some reason over the years was great. And then getting to do it with some of the people who I've had great talks with. I mean, it's hard to call them not my friend. Like, it's hard to call them just members of a meetup group. They're my friends now. And that's just how it works. And, you know, it's great.
Any other things that we want to say that we haven't said? Well, that's, I guess we land the plane then.
Happy to do a part two if there's any feedback from the community. So
yeah, everybody read the comment section and we are serious about if it's within driving distance, we are willing to travel to help make the group happen. I will try to make time in my schedule to do some of these things. Rick and Joey and Tyler are also happy to drive. John is happy to drive. And then if you want me to come to a meetup that's further away and help you start, send me an email. And obviously I would need help in terms of expenses and making it work in the rest of my life. But you know, I went to Australia for Pete's sake. And there's no place further away than Australia, I don't think. So I will go to the other end of the earth to help you with this if we can make it work in terms of all the ways it needs to work for me. But
I'll volunteer to do it in Holland and in Dutch.
That's right. And I hope so, at some point to get to Holland so we can, you know, I'd love to see Job's. I'd love to meet Job's pastor and see his small town. And if I go to the Netherlands, maybe I'll time it with John and John can be my translator. Although these Europeans, their English is phenomenal. I was talking to a guy from Denmark the other day and it's like, wow, his English is great. Yeah. And so anyway, all right. Is that it?
Can I say hi, Job?
Yes, you can say hi, Job. Any of you, if you want to say hi to anyone, go ahead. Does your mom watch my YouTube channel? My mom watches my YouTube channel. Just the conversations, though. None of the monologue. It's like,
hi, Paul's mom.
You did a great job, Mrs.
Vanderclay.
Vanderclay. Senior moment.
Thank you, Paul, for hosting us. Thanks for having us on. And hopefully we can keep going forward. And
hey, thank you guys for your amazing enthusiasm. I'm just amazed with the energy you guys put into this. And thank you so much for doing that.
All right. Don't hang up. I'm just going to stop the recording and then we can chitter chat, as Freddie says.